listening to the Emo Brown, the Saddest Mexican Podcast.
Live in the white.
Why are you in the white?
Why do you like to live in the white, canijo?
All right. A little whiter when you walked in.
Ladies and gentlemen, another episode of Emo Brown, the Saddest Mexican Podcast. Recently voted top three podcasts in San Diego. ¿Qué dicen? ¿Qué pues?
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, bro. We got lucky. We got voted in. Bro. Today, I got Barrio Dog.
Yeah,
Ernesto and Pablo, bro,
yeah,
from the hood. And it's funny when I saw you, Hernan. Yeah. I'm pointing at you, Ernesto, because I didn't expect you to be here. So I looked over. I swear it took me straight to the quad area of Bonita Vista High School. I was like, woo! Yeah. It took me. I was like, oh shit! I remember these guys.
Yeah.
I remember these guys being barons.
Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of people recently. Siempre de aquí de Chula Vista, but more recently from people from Bonita. Yo, we're doing good things from Bonita. Some of the Bonita people that are coming out. Definitely, we're putting our mark here in San Diego, whether it's in the service industry, whether it's in just entrepreneurship, giving back to the community, becoming a professor, being parents, just being upright, stand-up citizens.
Absolutely.
Felicidades, yeah. Niños.
Thank you, brother.
You too, bro.
Likewise.
I have Barrio Dog here. We're going to learn all about why, where, how, the future, why it's so awesome in there, why people complain about their pricing. What? Pinche, se pasan de weenie los Yelpers, dog.
Se pasan de weenie. Dog.
Welcome, boys. It's awesome to see you. It's awesome to talk to you.
Thank you.
Wifey and I, of two places we've gone to in the COVID. Hemos salido a los lugares, canijo. We went to our 15-year anniversary. We went to Costa Brava and PB. That's our restaurant. Oh, that's where we go.
Jam.
That's the one.
That's the jam.
And Barrio Dog.
Yeah,
bro. Yeah, those are the only two restaurants we've gone out to eat in the last 8 months, bro.
Thank you, guys.
Thank we had a fucking great time. You know, todo perfecto.
No, that's how we've been surviving, by the support. People still coming out. I tell the staff, if as long as people come out to eat, we're going to be there to work. So it's been good.
Fuck, man. You guys started 2017, August 26th. And it's not because I did research. It's porque me acabas de decir. You just told me that you guys opened a couple of weeks after we opened. I feel like that was the last wave of openings that kind of happened. Only because después de eso, I feel like here, especially in the brewery in Third Avenue in Chula Vista, we opened right at the right time for us. Everything after us, it seems to like just be okay. It's a whole new wave, a whole new era of businesses as it relates to brewing. The food industry.
Yeah.
How is that? How is it opening a restaurant right now in the climate in the last 3 years in Barrio Logan? Why in Barrio Logan?
Yeah.
Why even hot dogs?
Yeah.
What prompted you to get into the restaurateurs?
I mean, I'll just run you through the story and how it went down. My compadre and I, we met in high school. At Bonita Vista.
Yeah.
We had different friends, ran in different circles, but always had mutual respect for each other. Our friendship grew after high school, that we became compadres. You know, he's the godfather of all my kids. This is the guy that I trust with my life. You only get so many of those in your life. And
how many you got?
I got one.
Eso, man. Fuck. I got three. I got three. I got to shorten my list.
I got to tighten it up. I got two. I got Cisco. Cisco's
yeah.
Got
okay. Yeah, va creciendo la pinche lista, I mean, pues.
No, but it's important. It's important. So we started going to Baja when we were in our 20s.
Early 20s.
Yeah, you guys were all about that. Yeah, I remember.
My compadre's been racing in Baja since his 20s. And I used to be there at Alcahueto, you know, just to support the team and make sure everybody had a beer.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's kind of where it all started, being down in Ensenada. I mean, we would go down to a little hotel called Hoyamar.
We'd be down in San Felipe having those bacon-wrapped hot dogs late night after a race.
Nothing better to absolutely soak up all that alcohol, bro.
Right.
Un taquito un pinche hot dog con tocino.
So in one of those nights, I can remember clearly that we had that vision.
I remember which night that
we
was.
We had a vision of, you know, what, compadre, one of these days, fuck, we're just going to leave everything or we're going to go sell hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But the vision was to go and retire by the beach and sell hot dogs by the water and just forget about everything.
Still the vision.
Still a vision.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Still a vision. But fast forward 12 years, 15 years, and we find ourselves hanging out in the neighborhood that I was born and raised in, which is Barrio Logan.
This was March. This was a Sunday morning in March of 2017.
El vato sacó el journal.
You know why? Because we were, I was getting some wheel work done, right, on my UTV. Compadre was with me. My godson, Lorenzo, was with us. So we're like, all right, it's going to take about an hour. So we're like, all right, well, let's go grab a cafecito right here in the block and just take a walk.
Por vida, enjoy the morning. You guys go.
Yeah, so we were there. And obviously, that's, you know, the area that where my compadre grew up. And we saw a spot that was available.
Yeah, man. We had been talking about, why are we going to put our dreams so far ahead?
Right.
Like, we got to do it now because nothing is promised.
Nothing's guaranteed, bro.
Nothing is guaranteed.
If anything we've learned in these last 8 months is nothing is guaranteed, bro.
So we sat down, my comadre, my compadre, so his wife and my compadre and my wife, we sat down, four of us, and we said, hey, you know what? You know that crazy idea we have of selling hot dogs? Why don't we do it now?
Right.
And so we decided that we wanted to start in the neighborhood that I grew up in, which is Barrio Logan. You know, I grew up on Irving and Crosby. My family's from the block. I mean, we that's my roots. And so we had the opportunity to run into the right people because one of our boys was opening a tattoo shop down there.
Okay, okay.
He was opening up a tattoo shop. We were spending a lot of time down there. We were looking at different places. And then we just saw a vacancy sign.
Let me pick your brain about opening Barrio Logan. You having roots and growing up ahí en Barrio Logan, did that make it easier for you to get a spot in there and be more accepted? I've talked to other business owners down there, and they said they went through a fucking deal just to get in there and get it open.
Well, see, the thing is that the neighborhood is always run on respect.
Siempre.
Right? And if you respect the neighborhood, then they're going to respect you. And respect comes from your motives and your intentions. Like, what are you there for? Are you there just to take away what you need from the neighborhood?
And it sucks that we even got to talk about that, bro.
But we do. Or are you there to empower the neighborhood?
Yeah.
And do you cause a benefit to the neighborhood? That's kind of the baseline that the neighborhood watches out for.
Because you're the perfect person to ask. I mean, you're from there. Your family's from there. You have a business there. You've seen a lot of people come in, probably trying to whoop-de-woo their way in there, right. You know. Fucking selling, I don't know, what was a young lady selling? La frutería. And she came in like this, that, and the other. Right. I'm going to bring people this, something they've never had.
Correct.
And just me being from Chula Vista, from the outside looking in, I'm like, ooh, that's the wrong approach, man.
It made us cream.
I was like, that's not the approach you want to, because then I know there's another brewery that opened up down there. And that brewery just, I just like to watch people do their thing and see how they approach it. And then I saw this guy. I'm going to bring beer to the barrio. I'm going to bring quality beer to the barrio. It's like,
and quality food.
Este güey anda pasando de pito, a ver cuánto aguanta. I mean, he's still there. I don't know how well he's doing. But
so
I mean,
even me, I was born and raised there. But because I didn't spend my entire life there, I went and I got the approval from my tía and my primos. Like, my tía's been there since 1953. My uncle was a professional boxer.
Okay.
Frank Lucky Magaña.
Okay.
He's the one that started Lucky's Market right there on Logan Avenue.
Nice.
My tía lives next door to Lucky's Market. So even before we decided to do anything, I went to go talk to my tía. And I said, hey, tía, check it out. This is the plan. Do we have your blessing?
La bendición, you know what I mean? Dog. La bendición del barrio.
No, I mean, really, bro.
For real.
That's where the respect comes in, right?
I don't think people understand that that's... Like we always talk about unwritten rules and unspoken truths. Like, that's something you need to do.
Absolutely.
When I was dating my wife, I before I even dated her, I had to go ask her parents for permission to take her out to the movies.
Correct.
Before I asked her for her hand, I had to ask her parents, take them out and let them know, hey, this is my plan. Why wouldn't it be any different when you're opening a business in a barrio that has so much history, so much culture?
Correct.
I feel like those are just T's you cross and I's you dot to kind of keep the ball moving in the right direction.
And I feel like the businesses that have gone with the correct motive and heart have shown their success.
Ahí están todavía. That's very true.
Nosotros have been in and out.
Yeah.
And it's because they didn't fit with the...
You got to win the hearts and minds of a community.
Absolutely.
You got to earn that respect or else what are you doing? You're slinging hot dogs to people that come in and visit you on the weekends.
That's it.
What about Monday through Thursday?
Correct.
You know what I mean? That's a whole different
thing. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So we sat down. We wrote down the plan for Barrio Dog at my kitchen table. And we didn't look back. We knew we were going to start small because it was him and I. We weren't trying to get no loans. We weren't trying to ask nobody. Right. It was like, compadre, what do you got? This is what I got. Check it out. I'm going to sell my razor. I'm going to sell these toys. I'm going to gather this much money. Compadre, you got yours. We're going
to
do this.
What was the initial nut to get this good?
Startup?
Yeah.
3,500,
35,000. Okay, perfect. That covers the...
Because we built out the gallery, right? We built... So our whole vision first was to be a part of the art movement that was going on down there.
Yep.
Right? The cultural art movement that was happening in Barrio Logan at that time was what energized our passion.
And it's always been there.
It's always been there.
It's always been from Chicano Park and spreading out. You know, it just spreads everywhere.
So part of what we wanted to do was show the original art that came from that neighborhood, which was lowriding.
Right.
So my dad's been building lowriders in that neighborhood since 1969. I started building cars in 1992. You know, from anybody knows me from high school, I was driving a 64 Impala.
Champ, you went to high school one day a week, bro. Get you out, though.
Wednesdays.
Catch me here on Friday. After lunch, I'll be here for two periods. Count that.
Hey, I graduated.
You got to go check in, though, right?
She rainbow graduation.
But so what we did was we wanted to showcase the original art that came from the neighborhood and that was still coming out of the neighborhood, which was lowrider.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like, that's the art, still. The fashion, the culture. Still. Yeah. Still, so we built Cruising Lowrider Galleria. Like, that was our first, like, intro to the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, check it out. This is what we want to showcase. And we started with that. And while we were doing that, we were building the initial to Barrio Dog, which was our lowrider cart. So we built a hot dog cart out of a 64 Impala.
Whew.
Right? Basically.
Don't worry. I'm going to post pictures so you guys can see what they're talking about.
A rolling
about.
Kitchen, you know, fully licensed by the health department.
Was that tough?
That was crazy because I can't draw, bro. Uh-huh. So I tried to draw this thing that I had in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And when I initially came to them, they're like,
what's this?
Achingo.
Achingo, man, I kind of see this. So,
it looks like a teepee. What's going on here?
It looks good, eh?
So like a fucking teepee. My cousin Tommy, bro, he's an artist. And so we paid him to draw us a rendering. And from that rendering, we had to hire someone to make actual blueprint plans. We learned a lot through this even initial process of what it is just to do a hot dog cart. I had come from a restaurant industry past because I owned a restaurant before.
Okay.
But nothing like this.
Ahí en barrio, en otro,
no,
en otro.
No, in Terra Santa. So my first restaurant was Bellagio Ristorante. It was an Italian restaurant. But white tablecloths, hostesses, fine dining, the whole thing. That was my intro to the restaurant industry.
Oh, that sounds familiar. So not it was nothing in the South Bay. Strictly Terra Santa.
Strictly Terra Santa.
Okay.
So at the end of 2008, which we were about to approach the meltdown of the economy, I decided it was a good idea to buy a restaurant, right? But, you know, for me, I basically purchased my education by buying a restaurant.
Some people go to a four-year college, institute, university. Some people learn in the streets.
I never chalked it up as a loss.
Yeah.
I was able to sell it, but I learned a lot from there. What we learned from there is
you applied to Barrio Dog? Que bueno.
So fast forward 2017, we build this hot dog cart and we decide to open on the La Vuelta Festival.
Yeah.
So La Vuelta Festival, August 26, 2017. It's the festival that happens every end of summer, except for this one because of COVID, where they shut down the block from Chicano Park all the way to 26. And it's lowriders, music, food vendors. It's like the day.
Was that by design? Was that by design or was that just a coincidence that it opened?
We were supposed to open in July of that year. It just happened that now we were finally ready with permitting and all that.
I left out a little pinchy sidebar for people who want to open a business. San Diego, Chula Vista, Barrio, anywhere. Never put out a target date because those target dates are going to come. Yep. They're going to go.
Yes.
Never put a budget on your project because that budget's going to come and it's going to go. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, same here, bro. Absolutely. We were planning on opening probably November of 2016.
Yeah.
And we ended up opening August 6, 2017 for Lemon Festival. Uh-huh. Similar to La Vuelta, it was Lemon Festival was slammed. So it was like, that's why I asked you, did you guys do that by design?
Because
ours was accidental. We kept pushing it back and it just went.
We had a July 4th week in anticipation.
Mm.
But the permitting for the cart took longer than expected. Obviously, there's things that are in your hands.
Yeah, you can't control that, bro.
And so the next good date was going to be August 26th. Now, mind you, when we opened up the cart, we didn't even own a refrigerator. Like, whatever the cart had on it,
that's what we're working with.
A couple of Coleman coolers was what we went in with. But we sold 400 hot dogs on that first day, so we knew, check it out, people like them.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that people are like. Now, we have been doing hot dogs, him and I, since that conversation we had when we were 20. We would do them for fights. We would do them for kids' birthday parties. We would do them for another compadre. Like, if someone wanted hot dogs, my compadre and I would go back and forth. So it's not something that was completely new to us, but selling them was new to us.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
New to us.
Shit, we've been making beer, and we take them to parties. Right. People are like, hey, this beer is awesome. Yeah. You guys should open a brewery. All the homies and all the family are going to tell you that whatever you're making is the best thing.
Correct.
And then you get that reality slap in the face. Correct. Like, what the fuck is this?
When you give it away, you get one reaction.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But as soon as people start to pay for it and you start to see that they like it, I think it sparks something in us like, all right.
Let's go.
Let's run.
Yeah.
Like, we're ready. We're buying a refrigerator on Monday.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
So, how long did that setup last for you guys? ¿Cuánto tiempo estuvieron ahí? Because I know from using the hot dog cart.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't that long before you guys.
It was 8 months.
Yeah,
eight
before months, you made that transition months, to the brick and mortar. And
in 8 months, we all grew the cart.
But we knew right away.
Right.
Within the first 2 months.
Yeah.
They said, okay, this is going to be difficult if we want to continue to grow. Right. But we had already invested everything that we had into this business. Now, fortunate thing is that from the inception, nunca nos dejó. The business was taking care of itself.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. We just had to walk along with it and be ready.
Mm-hmm.
We started off with only two hot dogs. We kept it real simple. La Virgen and El Cholito. So my ballpark style and our Tijuana style is what we started with. No side dishes, no French fries. We had Cokes in the refrigerator.
No elote, champ?
No, nothing. That was it. We had two. And so we wanted to grow slowly. Not only for us, but for our staff. Because what's been our focus from the beginning is consistency.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going to bring people back when they know they're going to get the same thing over and over and over?
That's funny you say that, bro. We always go over that. You know, it's like, what makes a franchise is consistency.
Absolutely.
If I have a burger at McDonald's in San Isidro, correct, and I'm in, I don't know, fucking Washington and Seattle, and I'm expecting that same burger.
Right.
Like, when you have something that you're put your heart and soul into, like Barrio Dog, and let's say Barrio Dog, you know, you guys start expanding, you're on Third Avenue one day, people know you from Barrio Dog in the hood. So when
you
come down here, it's like,
they consistency too. And that was huge.
That was huge. And I think that's where my compadre and I, from the very beginning, we said, we need to set expectations that are not your expectations or not my expectations. Mm-hmm. They're the Barrio Dog expectations. And we're going to train around that. That way no one says, oh, it's you or it's you or it's you. No, check it out. These are Barrio Dog standards. Mm-hmm. And even though we started off small, I don't think we ever thought small.
Right.
Like, we never thought small. This didn't catch us by that much of a surprise because we're like, we're going to do this. If we're going to invest our time and our energy into this project, we have to make it work.
It takes foresight. It takes gambling. It takes kind
trust.
Of, yeah.
Trust, bro.
All of those things. Trust, a little luck, bro. A little faith, gambling, trust, a little, faith. Yeah, because I mean.
You have to.
You can have the best product.
No.
You can have the best product ever created. You know, this is the best fucking Tijuana style hot dog I've had this side of the border ever. But if you don't market it appropriately, if you don't staff in order to present this, you know, consistently, if the product is lackluster from Monday to Friday, there's just so many like variables that go into a product. Absolutely. A hot dog, a absolutely. Beer, absolutely. A piece of clothing.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where people like get lost. And I was going to say, it's funny how easy it is from the outside looking in, telling you guys how easy it is to have a successful business when you keep it real.
Right.
You guys didn't like stray too far from like, oh, let's do this. Oh, let's do that. I was like, you know, bro, compadre, we've been making hot dogs since the year, like 20 years now.
Yeah.
Let's keep going with this, this process. Let's take it to where we're from. And let's just let it go.
That's it.
And there you are.
That's it.
And here you are. That's
it's building it. The right team, man.
That's it.
It means a lot.
That's it. And that was part of the very beginning too, is building the team. You know what I mean? Like where we've gotten from August 26th to today has been because of the team. I mean, that's so important. People are out there trying to open up a business. I tell you, focus on your team. Just like you were telling
us. Yeah, you just said it right now.
You know what I mean? You said you focus on your team. Your team is what matters. That's what makes Barrio Dog.
Nobody knows me. Nobody knows my partner. Right. Like they know us, but they don't. My beer tenders, the first line of defense, the first people that they interact with, the people who are selling our product.
Correct. Correct.
To them, that is Three Punk Ales.
Correct.
You know, to them, that is the Elwood. To Correct. Them, that is Barrio Dog. Correct. You know, people know about you guys. You know, Correct. They know about you guys. Oh, yeah, they started. Oh, yeah, Pablo's from here. Oh, la, la.
Yeah.
But on the day-to-day basis, like weekly transactions, interactions, is not with you guys, yeah. bro. It's with your staff.
Absolutely.
You know, and for better or for worse, like that staff represents you and the brand. Yeah. So you better make sure mm-hmm. you pick yourself, your staff wisely because right. those are the guys that are, you know, they're marketing for you.
Absolutely.
They're,
every day.
They're pushing your product.
They're an extension of us.
They're bigger than an extension than
Correct.
Us, bros.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
So what would you tell yourself? What would you guys tell yourself now, 2020, 3 years after you've opened? Tell your 2017 selves, the version of the business owners of Barrio Dog. What pitfalls would you warn you guys or yourselves for? Or like what advice do you guys give yourself?
Compadre.
I said, wait, compadre.
I'm just, so, man, just be solution-based, bro. Just always, you're going to encounter problems. You're mm-hmm. going to encounter stress. You're going to have some dark days. I went through that, okay? Know who you're working with. I wouldn't have done this with anybody else other than my compadre. We've had our bad times, but we're both solution-based. You know, we don't focus on the problem. What do we need to do to get ahead? Whether it's from the smallest thing when you're starting the business to when you're trying to franchise, right? When you get to that level, it's just growing your patience and being solution-based is what I've gained from that.
You'd be surprised how many guys I talk to, man. Like even I just talked to, like I was telling you about Splurgio. Everybody has dramas. Everybody has like, you know, it's one thing to bring a gripe to a table, but don't just bring the gripe to the table, man. Right. You're bringing nothing. At that point, you're bringing a negative thought.
Correct.
If you're going to bring something like that, you got to bring something to follow it up. Be like, you know what? This isn't working. But this, if we implement this or if I do this, this could help that no longer be an issue. I feel like those are the kinds of mentalities you need just to kind of like get through it. Because this is not easy running a business, you know? I feel like people, you know, people will probably look to you guys and be like, ay, ahí están, cheap Barrio Dogs. All they do is hang out, probably eat hot dogs, drink beers. They don't do much of anything. They're not putting in any work. What they don't see, man, they don't see is that you guys are like ducks, you know? You guys are like, you're on top of the water. You seem cool, calm, collected, like pelo. But underneath the water, that pinche patito, he's paddling, bro. Yeah.
But throughout this, we've remained humble, both of us,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Through all this, like you won't see, we don't show that stress. We don't show those hard times. We come up, we show up, we got to smile. We got
to. Yeah, no one knows the drama that we went through to have that hot dog cart out there.
And there's always drama. Like,
when you're trying to sneak around the county because they're trying to come at you because you're cooking hot dogs outside, you have to find a solution. How do I do this? All of that is, I would say, if I were to talk to myself in 2017 now, I would say, trust the process.
Right. You have to.
Trust the process because it's all a process. Like, I think we as business owners, we want to have the solutions to everything. And I think because we can't all the time have it in our hands like we want it, that stresses us out.
Yeah.
That causes anxiety. That causes
fear. Want instant gratification.
Correct.
Instant solutions. Instant Correct. Everything. Pero el pelo is that sometimes these things are out of our hands.
We have to trust
You have the to process. Wait. You have to wait it Correct. Out. Correct. I mean, one of the reasons you guys were delayed in opening, again, are things that were out of your hands.
Right.
Here at the brewery, similar. Yeah. I mean, we were ready to open up. I believe it was in February of 2017. We were ready. But at that point, we had issues with our like SDG&E. We were using propane and we needed to get into a whole different route. These are things that they could derail a whole project,
people
bro.
People don't see it.
You know, if that's what's going to push you off your mark and just kind of like make you give up, agárrate, mijo.
Well, check it out. We had planned to open up on 4th of July weekend because that's how much tenant improvement time we had before we had to start paying rent. So the week that we opened up Barrio Dog, it was like, we're on our last pennies to keep this thing going. This thing has to start. And that's where that trust, I think we've had to learn to trust the process. And that trust is what's giving us like, it's like a muscle.
Yeah.
Like muscle. It's like going to the gym every day. You know, I don't know anything about that. My compadre could talk to you about gyms. I'm abiding to the COVID-19, staying away from the gyms right now. But I hear something. He's fucking
fucking. So it's been eight months. What happened?
No, but I mean, for us, like I said, trusting in the process, being ready at growing points because we've been pulled.
Right.
At every step of growth, What I mean by that, it's not like we have like pondered up all of these like, okay, compadre, this is going to be the this and this and this. Yeah, we had some vision.
Yeah, that's cute.
That's cute. Yeah, yeah.
Having a vision board is cute.
That's cute.
For like the first few months.
But when it's October and you have one table that seats 10 people and the rest of people are outside and you have a line and you want to stay on the same block, how do you do that?
Pivot, move.
So we were able to find a location just one block up, still on Logan Avenue. It was like heaven sent. It's a restaurant that I went to when I was a kid. It was called Siete Mares.
Siete Mares, that's right. Yeah.
So we were able to jump on that. We signed a lease in January of 2018, so not even 6 months before our initiation of the project. And we started our build out. But we started with 1,200 square feet in Siete Mares. Okay.
And that was presented to us. Keep in mind, that was presented to us, I want to say around 11:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. And we needed to respond back between 4:30 and 5
it was like
p.m. So we needed to respond an hour.
You know how we had to move?
Yeah.
Same day.
Like, we found
something. Yeah. No, that's how it happened. He's like, hey, let's come take a look at it. So we did. I think between 1 and 2:30, we were walking the spot. And we just looked at each other. It was like, I'm like, hey, let's just do it. Why even question it?
Mira, you know? Not even having the money in our pocket or in our bank account.
Yeah.
We said we have to. Like,
you bet on yourself. You bet on your vision. You bet on whatever.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out how to get it. But the thing is that we know that we can't stay where we're at. Mm-hmm.
How often do spaces in Barrio Logan and Logan come up? Is it rare? Is it
to find a space on Logan Avenue with a built kitchen?
Yeah.
Is like getting struck by lightning.
Oofa.
Like it doesn't exist for us to just come in and have to do cosmetic rehab. That's something that couldn't have been served up any better. You know what I mean? And that's why we feel like the project was meant to be in that neighborhood, because what we've been able to do with that project in that neighborhood is beyond hot.
Right. That neighborhood, what started that neighborhood on the new renaissance? Ahorita como está ahorita, you know, like with Salud and Benji, Border X and everything. What was the first business that kind of came in there and presented it with the renaissance look?
Well, like, mira, I have to contribute that to Milo, to Eric Casas, to Ernie from Salud, to David Favela. You know, all these guys were doing what a pop-up version of what they're doing on the block. They were doing it on Main Street at the spot.
Okay, so it was a San Diego Taco Company.
There was like an art collective.
There was Border X, and it was La Por Vida.
Correct. There was an art collective there. They would have events. They would have parties. Ernie would be the taquero. Milo would be like the coordinator. Eric Casas would be doing the marketing. Like Eric Casas is our marketing director. So we took from, you know, the guys who are the lifeblood of what is happening. You know, I look up to them. For me, they're my inspiration. But I would say those are the guys. And those are the guys that are still on the block.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because their motives are true. About the neighborhood. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if your motives are not about the neighborhood, then just go open somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, especially in San Diego. Especially in the hoods of San Diego. Especially in the older neighborhoods of San Diego. You know, you can't get away with that shit. In Paradise Hills and Barrio Logan and Chula Vista and National City. Like, I feel like we smell the pretenders really quick.
Right.
You know, I on 3rd Avenue... We've been fortunate enough that we haven't been hit too much with like gentrification. Shit, we were accused of gentrification. Bro, I'm from here.
Correct.
Like my house is like 3 blocks away. Like I ain't going nowhere.
Correct.
You know, it's like I'm opening this spot here because I'm tired of going to North Park and spending my money there.
Correct.
I'm tired of going to downtown or East County, North County. I want everybody who lives down here to have a spot, you know, and not in East Lake. I'm talking about here on the west side of Chula Vista, you know, and fortunately everyone kind of had the same idea at the same time and boom, 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 boom. Everything up. And then I feel like every time we go, like we usually go on Sundays to Barrio Logan. And it's beautiful, bro. It's nice. Like we go on our bike rides right now every Sunday.
That's when I saw you the other day.
We're up there. Yeah, you caught us. We caught you on the intersection.
Yeah.
But we're up there and we go to Por Vida. We visit Chicle Spa right there, La Golondrina. And we're just like, fuck, bro. I feel like this is what the goal is down south on 3rd Avenue. This is what we want to become.
Right.
You know, you guys obviously have it. It's there. So I want to find a way to kind of bring a little bit of that and have it here. Because everybody down here, they have the same motives as everybody in Barrio Logan, you know, with the owners that you mentioned, Ernie, Favela, and Milo, you know, like you guys. It's like everybody has the same feeling down here. We all from the hood. We all have our businesses here.
Yeah.
We all want to see 3rd Avenue flourish and become. And it's hard for us because I feel it's like we're that rookie that's coming up and we're in the majors. We just got our first taste and everyone's already anointing Third Avenue like, hey, this is the next basic thing. This is the next 30th Street in San Diego. This is the next Logan. This is the next. It's like, no. We just got to always sound like we're the first Third Avenue. Like we're trying to figure out what we want to do. We're not going to we're going to fail if you constantly trying to put us on a different level.
Yeah, you know? I feel you. Absolutely. I feel you. And it's keeping it real to what you know that is attractive to others. Like what's attractive to people about Barrio Logan is that it's a familiar feeling neighborhood. Mm-hmm. When you go into our neighborhood, you feel like you came home.
Yeah.
When you sit down outside, you're in one of the rarest mixed commercial residential neighborhood. Right. Yeah,
that's random,
right? Where you can be eating across the street from my tia's house, right? Like that's pretty random. And I think people miss that, you know, that familiarity of dining, right? Like coming in and saying what's up to your staff because they connect with them, you know, feeling comfortable with their environment. Like that's everything that we want in the experience of Barrio Dog. So
talking about the experience and the comfort level, as I have one of our employees here looking at me. How has the pandemic shaped that? How has the pandemic made it? It's made it more difficult.
Yeah.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. But how have you guys adapted to having the pandemic and operating your business? 8 months is 8 months. It doesn't matter how you fucking cut it, how you slice it, how you dice it.
They told us 2 weeks.
Eight months is 8 months, back
in March.
They told us 2 weeks. Well, guess what, bro? Because we had a humble beginning, because we've stayed humble through the growth, it was not as difficult as it could have been.
All right. Okay.
And I'll tell you why. So we're at the beginning of March, right? When all of this is starting to kind of unfold and it's starting to get severe. You know, we're going into our third year of business. Now we've gone from a hot dog cart to a restaurant to opening up a tap room. You know, things are flowing. And then all of a sudden you get the brakes pulled on you. If you don't have something to fall back on, you're going to fail. Like if you don't have a system, something that's going to take you back, you're going to fall because it's going to be too difficult for you to adjust and try to figure it out. We started off as a hot dog cart. You understand what I'm saying? We started off with a hot dog cart. So all we did was bring back our hot dog cart systems and mentality because they took away all of our dining. They took away all of our bar.
Todos para afuera. Right?
Todos para afuera. Takeout. And we're like, okay, well, compadre, we were damn near takeout before.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the problem?
Just, we have to switch, shift, and pivot. Mm-hmm. Right? So shifting and pivot was important to understand at the beginning. And number two, knowing that we were going to be better at the end than we were in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's just a decision that both of us made. That we're not going to stress out. We're not going to be scared. We're just going to put our heads down. Yeah, we're going to have to work more, obviously, but we're going to get through it.
Yeah.
And so I think because we made that decision at the beginning, we never had a major issue. We didn't have to fire nobody. We didn't have to close down. We didn't have to change our ingredients. We didn't have to do any of that. We just had to make modifications. So you don't spend the way you do.
Yeah.
You trim back on hours a little bit. You take down your hours of operation, they come down. But you know, you're not doing this. That's all we had to do in order to stay up.
Let's bring it back to what you guys were talking about earlier. Solution-based thinking.
Correcto.
Everything is a game. Like when I approach everything, for me, it's like, es un pinche juego. It's a game. You know, it has its rules.
Yeah.
It has its guidelines. Yeah. It has a method of getting from A to Z.
Yeah.
Our job is to figure out how to do it.
Correct.
How to make it happen. How do you unlock this puzzle? Yeah. You know, it was tough, you know, but I feel like people, you guys are fortunate that you both have the same mentality. Yeah. You know, I have a partner here in Kevin and a support group, you know, my family and his family that we have the same mentality. It's like, okay, this isn't uniquely affecting us.
Correct.
Este pedo nos, Three Punk Girls is going through a drama. Barrio Dragos. No. This is affecting everybody in this industry. Yeah. This is affecting everybody in every industry.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, this is not foreign to everybody.
No.
What can we do? At this point, we just got to focus on what we can do to get through this.
Exactly.
To get through the tunnel. And they're still not into the fucking tunnel.
Right.
But how do we get from the beginning chapter to the next chapter and so on and so forth? That was it, man.
Yeah.
Tying the belt.
Yep.
Make sure the budget is intact.
Yep.
You know, trim the fat.
Yep.
don't compromise the quality of your product, whatever it is. Yep. We found that cutting back on our hours yields the same result at the end of the day financially.
Correct.
So I don't know if we'll ever open up again to midnight or past midnight, you know?
Correct.
For us, we close at 10 and at 8 now during the day. Yeah. And it's like the numbers are, they are what they are, you know? They are what they are. And it's like, okay, cool.
We've learned a lot.
Yeah.
We've learned a lot. We've learned a lot.
We've been course correcting through each change, through each, every time they're changing guidelines, we're just course correcting. Yeah. Our biggest thing was keeping the doors open every day.
Yeah. We haven't closed one day.
Eso.
Our priority has been, you know, you mentioned it earlier. It's our staff. They got families. They got responsibilities. So anything that we got to do is just keep them on payroll, keep the doors open.
From the get, you got to ask them like, okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you comfortable with working?
Right.
You know, that was the first question we asked everybody's like, are you, who's comfortable with working?
Right.
You know, because if not, Kevin and I will work.
Right.
You know, because this is my business. Right. This is my life. I'll work every day needed to.
Correct.
But I understand that these unemployment benefits aren't forever.
Correct.
You know, whoever wants to work and maintain, I got you.
Got you.
You know, it's here. There will be work. There will be job. Yep. Man, I have more people now than I did before, I feel like.
Absolutely.
You know, I have people working with my brewer. They're downstairs. Yep. They're doing their thing. It's like, you just got to take care of yourself and they'll take care of you.
That's it.
Because
That's it.
Let me take this time to say thank you to Kiki. Hey, Kiki, I see you looking over your papa. Hey, say, way.
Shout out.
Why don't you load up two charming stouts in the van and it's going to Hamul Casino. Thank you. Say, way.
He's been waiting there.
Smooth.
He's been waiting there.
Smooth.
Smooth.
I love it. I love it. That was, man,
you got to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your kids. Ultimately, they're all, I view it all the same. You know, every business is another child. I have three kids. At my business, I got six kids, including this podcast. So it's like, okay, everybody got to treat it a little bit differently. Tienen personalidades diferentes. They're all unique in their own way.
Exactly. Right.
But it's like, you got to take care of that staff and make sure that their needs are being met. And if not, address them. And if still, then okay, find somebody that we need that is a better fit.
Correct.
There is no hard feelings in this industry.
No.
Ultimately, nothing and nobody is bigger than the brand that you created. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The brand keeps going, you know, the pieces in the brand, if they no longer fit, then we got to make it work or we don't,
correct.
You know, we don't work too hard on making it work.
No.
We work just enough to be like, okay, sabes que? Okay. It's not going to work. Not a problem. No hard feelings.
Right.
You're always welcome to come back so long as everything's on the level. In the meantime, let's keep it going. Yeah. Let's keep it going.
Exactly.
Pandemic taught me that's the way it has to be done.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Because Three Punks Ale expectation has already been set.
Unfortunately,
already been set. Right. And you can't deviate that.
For better or for worse. You know?
The
expectation, the bars have been raised.
Yeah.
Bro, we are where we are now.
Yeah.
We're 3 years in.
3 years.
Barrio Dog. Three years in.
3 years in.
You're no longer the new kids on the block.
No.
You know? I know that because every time we ride down there, I always see a new restaurant opening. ¿Cuál es el que está en la esquina? A cruzar de salud.
Oh, they're opening up Fish Guts.
Fish Guts. Yeah. Yes. I feel bad for them because I know they were fully primed to get it going.
He was ready.
And then, boom, the bottom was taken out from under them with the COVID and the pandemic.
I mean, so many people that were, you know, anxiously working on their projects. Those are the ones that got it hard.
Yeah.
Because they had all that investment and then they couldn't do anything.
And it's awesome because I still see businesses right now that are opening.
Right.
Durante todo este pedo. And I'm like, oh, fuck
that's ballsy.
Like, Do your thing. I'll support you as much as I can. You guys need beer.
Haze Burgers. Haze Burgers down on Logan.
Uh-huh.
They've been working on their project for a while. They opened up like when the pandemic started. I'm like, bro, you guys got balls, power to you.
And they're still there.
Support you. They're doing it.
And they're still
there.
They're
doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
It's a matter of, it's all how you approach things, bro. It's a mentality. It's a mentality. You just got to keep fighting through it. Easier said than done. Obviously, everyone's situation is very different. Not everybody had the opportunity to bring money together, raise it, and open it in cash.
Right.
Not everybody had the opportunity to reach out and obtain a loan or an SBA loan or whatever it takes. But I feel like once that is in place, it's a matter of hustle, getting it done. You know, you got to.
It's awesome.
If this is your lifeline, if this is all you've got, then you give it all to make sure that you take it up.
Well, there is no plan B. There's no a ver si.
Si no funciona esta, a ver qué pasa acá.
No,
it's like, no, homie.
It's never that. No. Homie. No. We created this to have a legacy for our family.
Mm. So that's been coming up a lot lately with people I'm talking to.
For sure.
Talk to me.
Because, you know, it's sad. It's sad to say, but like, I don't really know much about my family and what they built and what they did. You know what I mean? Because communication wasn't the same back in the day. You know, familias se separan, and you really don't know what your great great grandpa did, or what you don't know what your grandmother was involved in, or whatnot. So I wanted us to be able to create a legacy that both him and I can pass on to the next generation, to our kids, to their kids. And they can say, you know what? In 50 years from now, the two compadres did it. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that we could leave behind, because you can't leave behind money. You can't leave, you can't leave behind houses. You can't leave behind cars. All that shit goes away. Mm. You want people to remember you for something positive that you did, for an impact that you made, right? Like, right now, we're focused on empowering the youth of that neighborhood. Mm. Like we have kids that we start off at 15 years old now in the kitchen. You know what I mean? And for us, giving them something to be excited about, absolutely, giving them a hope, giving them an environment to grow. That's what we're about now.
Bro, it made me so happy when I saw you, El Compita, El Justin. Yes. He posted about like how you guys linked up. Yeah, mm-hmm. Justin, aka Clint, the homie, he's here. He's actually helping us. He's a big part of Emo Brown, the foundation. We're setting up Emo Brown Foundation. Same thing aspect that what you got going on in Barrio Logan.
Yep.
We want to do the same thing down here in Chula Vista or in the South Bay in general.
Yep.
And ultimately, I feel like we should just all like throw it all in the same pot, you know, put it all in together and help, because it seems like you guys are doing the same thing that we are setting out to do. Yep. So when I saw you link up with Hood Heroes, I was like, damn, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to start,
about
bro.
Think about it, bro. Like when we were growing up, like really, you know, you had a couple options. You know, you could go to the military.
Yay.
My compadre went to the military. Uh-huh. You could go to school. They took me to go to Southwestern College. Uh-huh. I went to Southwestern College. Like they didn't really give us many options. But if we can make entrepreneurship an option, if we can make business growth an option for the next generation, like, man, the opportunities are endless. And so that's why linking up with you, with Clint, with other people, Milo, all these guys, we can do something.
There's a lot of power there now, man. There's a lot of networking. There's a lot of growth that we can all share. I'm excited. I mean, I always tell people, like, yeah, this was all just, it started like fucking around like as a game.
Right.
And then the time passed, and then we started getting the right kind of attention. And then people started reaching out. Oh, well, let me go on there. I want to talk about this. Cool. And then when like mayor came in, and now political activists are coming in, and now more business owners, and now people who run organizations. So I'm like, fuck, this is all like accidentally on purpose led me to what we want to do next. You know, perfectly happy with that, bro.
Yeah.
You know, because now it's like, look it, we're linked up. Sure, we have businesses. You know, sure, we ultimately care about, you know, having a financial stability for ourselves and for our family. But there's more.
Absolutely.
You know, now that every time we have a bubble of friends, you know, I hang out with a couple of guys and their families. And anytime there's a fight, they come over, we go over to their house. You know, we cook up, we eat, we drink. We just had that this weekend. And I was talking to my best friend, Gus. We were like stando bucanas, playing the accordion because we're weenies. And he's like, bro, I'm fucking on board with what you're doing with Emo Brown, with my business. I just want to contribute. I want to leave back a legacy. And I was like, fuck, bro. Everyone keeps talking now about legacy. That seems to be like the bigger picture shit. It's no longer like, oh, I want to do this because I want to buy that.
Correct.
Ooh, I want to do this because I want to buy that.
Correct.
Now it's like, you know what? I want to do this because I have kids and I want them to take over, take the reins and take it from there.
Correct.
So it's all like, you know, baby steps leading into the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what did you talk about with Clay? What's going on? Are we going to do something big there or what?
So, I mean, he came to me and talked to me about Hood Heroes. And for me, like, that's what we're all about. We started a little empowerment called Love Logan.
Okay.
Right? So, like, we started, like, you know, there's so many people that want to give contributions. That's cool. Well, I'm about empowering. Like, I want to empower the youth. I want to give them hope. I want to give them training. I want to give them opportunities. Like, one thing is money. Yeah, that's cool. But we want to be able to help from within. We want to be the change that we want to see. When he came to me with Hood Heroes, I'm like, bro, that's awesome. You're giving people the opportunity to start their life after, you know, coming from, you know, foster care, coming from a broken home, and setting them up so that they can have hope and be a business owner and
give them a game plan.
Give them a game plan, bro.
Yeah.
So many of our youth, so many of the generation right now, they just, it's not that they can't, it's that they don't know
how. Just don't know how. There's a lot of talent in our hoods, bro. There's a lot of talent in our hoods.
Look, the talent that has come out of Barrio Logan in the last 60 years is incredible. People don't really understand because not everybody still lives in Barrio Logan, but the talent that has come out of there, bro. And I know that there's so much more still in there in the youth because I see it. I see it with the youth that we hire. I see their passion. I see their drive. It just has to be directed in the right place. Right. So, you know, when we're talking about what needs to be done in neighborhoods like Barrio Logan, it's empowering our youth. It's giving them hope, showing them the way, not doing it for them, not putting money in their pocket.
Right.
We don't need handouts.
Yeah.
We need to show these kids
when you work out
how to make it happen.
Yeah.
How do you take an idea like selling a hot dog and turn that into a brand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you take the passion to make beer and develop that into a working, viable business and brand like 3Punks? Like, that's something that we can bring to the table. And if we can empower even one youth a year, bro.
And it's hard looking from the position that we're in.
Right.
It's hard. Like, I rarely take the time and be like, oh, fuck. Like, this is going good. I'm always stuck in the hustle when it's like, fuck, we got to do this.
Right.
All
right.
That's not working. Let's fix that. Okay. Like, you see people keep coming in and out of the office trying to get in. It's like, it's just nothing stops.
No.
Like, this just keeps going and going. And if you decide to just take a day off or 2 days off, that... it doesn't work like that. No. You know, you don't go into business for yourself or set up your own business.
It's a 7 days
a week. Yeah, bro. And wifey, like, she gets it now. And I owe her everything because without her, none of this works. You know? Mm-hmm. But I still feel like she's learning that, oh shit, he's on call all the time. Right. Why are you always on your phone? I said, shit's going down. Why not? I said, I got to handle this, you know? Mm-hmm. And if not me, I got to give it to somebody. And that's the one thing I need to learn how to do better. Delegate, bro.
Delegate.
You know, I got to have, it's fucking hard because it's not that I have trust issues.
No, I know.
It's just that I have trust issues. You know, it's just like, fuck, you know, I know you can do it.
Right.
But you can't do it like I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, and then ultimately I'm going to be like, fuck, he's going to handle it. But God damn it. If he doesn't do this, I'm just going to have to pick it up on Monday. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why if he's slowly understanding and bro, the reason I was late today is because it's the distance learning.
Yeah.
You know, in our preschooler, we have a friend of the family that comes in and he's three and just kind of hangs out with them during his class. Well, wifey works with the two other ones that require like legit attention. She wasn't there today. So I was like, okay, well, I'll hang out. I'll stay. Bro, just throwing that like little wrinkle into the day. I was like, it fucking unraveled me. Yeah. It's like, bro, I don't know where my wallet is. I don't know what's going on. It was in my backpack, everything, you know? It's like, it just throws one little curveball like that. It just threw it. So it's like, that's the tip of the cap from me to wifey because she holds it down every day.
Correct.
You know, I just saw today, like what goes on. I was like, damn. How did she went to the store? She's like, I got to go to Food for Less. I'll be right back. I was like, she came back. I was like, I don't know how you handle all three of these kids at once doing this, that, and they're all like on their own thing. She's like, I do it every day. I was like, I know. I said, I love you.
High five.
I got to go. You back?
I got to go. Teamwork. It's teamwork.
That I really appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Love to take you to Barrio Dog later. Yeah. But I got to go right now. Yes, he's in pedo, bro. Yeah. So you guys have kids, and eventually those kids are going to graduate from high school, and eventually they're going to be in the position where it's like, university, real world, what? You know?
Right.
Knowing what you guys know now and the paths that you've taken to where you are, and you know you're establishing yourselves as community leaders and giving back, do you push your kids to go to college? Do you see there is a more opportunity not to go to college? And I have a lot of fucking professor friends and teacher friends and people in the education system. And I've told them, I said, bro, I just don't have confidence in sending them to university is in their best interest. I feel like they're more like, one of them is more like me. He needs to be thrown into something to learn, get it done and figure it out. And then from there, he grows. Mm-hmm. College works if you're doing one of four things for me. And this is strictly for me. Like if you're going to school to become a doctor, a lawyer, so, you know, something like that, an engineer, an architect, if you have an idea and you're going to school to grow that idea and turn that idea into a passion, into a career, into your future, a huevo, vale gas, right. Get it in there.
Do it.
If you're going and you have no idea, no direction, it's not going to do my children any service, my fucking, our wife and my bank account any service that's sending you to school to do this.
Right.
Like, I'd rather say, you know what? Come work at the brewery.
Right.
Get a job at UPS. Go to a trade school. Learn how to be a plumber. Learn how to be an engineer. Learn how to be an electrician. Learn those things. And from there, at least you're going to create your path, make some money, and figure out what it is you want to do.
Bro, I am on the same page as you. And I think we're already having those conversations with my three about that the only path doesn't have to be going to a four-year college. And we've talked, we've had a trade school conversation with my kids. I've had a military conversation with my kids. I've had an entrepreneur conversation with my kids because all three of them are different. I think the system itself wants to put everybody in the same box.
Yeah.
And that box doesn't work. Like, we had to stumble in our youth to figure out what we ultimately wanted to do. Right. And that was to hold the reins of our life.
That was just to get on track.
Right? You know? But we realized early on, my compadre realized, and I realized early on, because we've been hustling for a long time. Hustling didn't just start for us. We've been doing this for a long time. We realized that we wanted to be independent. The only way you could be free in this country is if you're independent. You know what I mean?
Ooh, tell me more.
And so we knew that if we wanted to be able to experience life how we wanted to experience it, we had to do it on our own. And so we both, you know, got into real estate real early in life because we didn't want to have a boss telling us what to do or when to do it or how big you can grow or who you can be. And I think that those skills that we learned early on in real estate about having that potential to do whatever you can be is what led us to be where we're at now. You know, not having a ceiling over you is having freedom.
The unspoken reality of all of that is too, is that you got to have your hands, your fingers in a lot of different pots. You just don't slang hot dogs.
No.
I just don't slang beer.
No.
You got to do a lot of other things to actually make this dream become the actual passion that become the reality, you know? Cuz like you said, you mentioned real estate.
Yep.
You know, that was probably the bread and butter that created the opportunity to even go into Barrio Dog.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And knowing that there is a process to reaching your ultimate goal. I think with the information age, with instant gratification, IG, Facebook, people want to get famous like tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Right? Like,
why am I not like Kylie Jenner?
Correct. But there's a process. Like, we didn't just show up here. Like, we're not just lucky. No, this is 25 years plus of development in business for
this both. Is Los Compadres slinging hot dogs after the Baja 500, the Baja 1000, yeah, you know, in 1998. Like, yeah. And you're like, this was all you were planting the seed and you were watering it.
Right.
You know, and that was all it is, you know, making your mark, getting, you know. Cutting your teeth.
That's it.
Ya andamos todavía kicking up dust.
That's it.
And to some people, it's like, oh, they're new.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's like an iceberg. They just see the tip of the iceberg. They don't see everything on the bottom that, yeah, you know, right, everything that led to this point. You know, I was in banking and finance and accounting for 18 years,
correct,
bro.
Yeah. Correct.
I had my first son in the year 2017.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait, let me do some quick math. 2017. No, dog. Shit. 2012. Yeah, 2012. In the year 2012, we had Sonny. And I remember they brought Sonny to my office in City Heights and in La Pinche University. And I was just sitting there and they brought him to him. I was like, fuck, my son is just going to know me from being going to work at like 7:30 and coming home after 6:30 and then coming home and just being all like, what a fucking day working for the man, making somebody else money. And I wasn't happy. And fortunately, unfortunately, like, that company helped me make my decision because it was at the time when we were starting this and I got let go there and I was like, perfect. It was like, this is perfect. You know, like there was a perfect storm and it helped me jumpstart what I wanted to do, what I really wanted to do, you know?
Yeah.
And now I look back, I'm like, bro, all of these things, all of these paths, all of these decisions, suceden por una razón. Absolutely. You know, there's a bigger cause. I'm not a religious dude, bro. I'm not a big religious dude. I believe in like in spirituality. Fuck, I got a little candle there, you know, San Martin, that's, you know, but whatever. Like, I believe like ultimately everything that you've done leads you to your ultimate purpose, you know? And for me, it was, okay, got to go through all that bullshit to figure out that this is what I want to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and this might not be the ultimate goal either, you know? And that's the biggest thing that I've been wanting to teach my kids is like, don't run to the finish line, run through the finish line.
Right.
You know, you the race doesn't end when you reach your goal.
You just
go, okay, what's next? Let's go. And then that's what I want, man. Our kids don't have privileges. You don't have privileges. We don't have privileges. We have certain privileges. Yeah. The privilege of home, shelter. We have what we need to succeed.
Correct.
But I want my kids to stay hungry. I want my kids to like know that there's more. Oh, my daddy owns a brewery. You know, all right, cool. Yeah. Let's go. You want to work at the brewery? You can work at the brewery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can help you with that. But it's a crazy time, man.
Yeah.
It's a crazy time because elections are coming up.
Oof.
And the binge. <Yeah. laughs> Election time, bro. What do you think's gonna happen, for better or for worse? Don't share your politics. Even again, I don't like to fucking catch people on their politics. But it's a crazy time.
It is,
and it's time for change. It's time to definitely vote.
Right.
And I tell people, it's like, vote. You know, I'm not one to, hey, make sure you vote. Hey, make sure you vote. It's like, bro, if you don't know that you have to vote at this point, like, uh-huh. I fucking can't help you, bro. Right. Like the things right now, this is probably the most important election for everyone's, you know, whoever's around right now. This is the most important election for you right now. Operating a business, having a family. What's the importance that you see in an election right now?
I think it's important to not only vote, but to inform yourself and educate yourself on what you're voting for,
right.
Who you're voting for, mm-hmm. especially us as Latinos. You know what I mean? Because for so many years, I think we've just been like in this zone of, if you see a Hispanic last name with a D next to it,
I mean,
automatically just fill that one in, right? And I'm not saying that any of those are bad, but I'm saying just take some time to read the propositions, read the ballot measures, look into each and every candidate beyond Facebook and beyond what you find on your Instagram, because those are mostly just memes and made up shit. Like, do some research, take some time, because your vote does matter.
Yep.
Puro yup. Cuéntame algo tú, pinche Ernesto.
No, pues sí, it's important, man. You got to know what you're voting on.
Yeah.
And my compadre hitting right on the button, you know. We'll look at a Latino name and we're like, pues I'm going to vote for him porque es Latino. No, you got to take some time. I mean, we're not kids anymore. Like you said, we don't got to be reminding everybody to vote.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And don't just vote.
Hey, mijo, despiértate, tienes que ir a trabajo.
Grab the little book. Everybody has it. Yeah. Stay off the social media. Stay off, you know, the bandwagons, all that stuff. And look and read into it what's important for you.
Media's been fucking a lot of people up.
Right. Yeah.
Media's been fucking a lot of people up, bro. On both sides. You know what? I'm not hardcore. I'm not hardcore any side.
Like, how did we get to this point? You know what I mean? Like, I start thinking back.
Ignorance, being on cruise control.
Right.
You know, just accepting everything that's given to us, you know. Obviously, the pandemic was a giant fucking test, you know. We want things to get back to normal, and there's guidelines that we have to adhere to. Absolutely. You're a business owner, you know. I don't know what your position is personally with masks and everything, but as a business owner, one, we need it. As a dad and as somebody else, an abuelita, this is my parents who's in their mid-90s, it's like, as a respect to them, I do the best that I can to make sure I don't bring anything home. I'm not reckless because of my respect to my family, you know? Yeah. And that's what I believe. Absolutely. If everybody just uses common sense, bro, if everybody used a fucking mask from the get and just adhere to certain things, we would be in a much different place.
I mean, part of our challenge in this whole COVID thing is you know, getting people to understand that those adjustments are necessary. Like for us, we haven't been rebellious through this thing. You know what I mean? Like, you give us what you want us to do, we're gonna do it, because it's easier to not have to fucking worry.
There's enough obstacles. Let's not create more.
Sabes qué? Just tell me what you need me to do,
and we'll do it.
And we'll do it.
Yeah.
And that's what's kept us safe, right?
Because and your community
and our community.
You know, because we all harp on, oh, we're from the community, we do this, we do that. We want to make sure we're not endangering the community, absolutely, our staff, our family. Absolutely. So we play by the rules they give, absolutely, us. Are they the right or the wrong ones? It doesn't matter.
And those especially are our staff. I think it's a commitment that we have to our staff to keep them safe, man. If if we're not keeping the environment safe, and when our staff get sick,
all for naught. Game over.
Game over.
Game over, bro. See?
Yeah.
So, it'll be crazy, man, because that's less than a week away.
Yeah.
And we'll see what comes our way.
We'll see what happens.
What's next for Barrio Dog?
So part of, you know, what's kept us, I think, in this ease of operation during this COVID is that we have something huge to look forward to next year. So part of what we were working on in March when all this went down was we were finishing up our second location. So Barrio Dog is going to be opening up its second location in 2021.
Oof.
We're opening up in Petco Park.
Nice.
So we're going to be the official hot dog of the San Diego Padres starting next year.
No more Friar Franks?
Well, you might still end up finding some Friar Frank somewhere, but you're going to be coming to Bar.
So
we're on the Toyota Terrace level. We built out a barrio dog out there.
So was that going to happen this season?
That was going to happen this season.
We're scheduled to open March 26th. Yeah, we were ready.
We were already doing tasting events for the Padres and everything, and they pulled the plug when all this went down. So that keeps us motivated. That keeps us excited for next year. Beyond that, I mean, Barrio Dog, we've always had a vision to enter more barrios.
Right.
To be that empowerment vehicle for what the neighborhood needs. To be that little semillita that is needed in order to see growth. So maybe LA, San Jose, Oakland, Las Vegas.
How do you even like logistically stay on top of that? Like, how do you open like an outside of San Diego, and then is somebody gonna have to move up north?
So we Los Angeles isn't even far, because our vision is as far as Tokyo. We went to Tokyo last.
That's what I wanted to kind of get out of you guys. I wanted you to tell me a little bit of the Tokyo project. You guys are always posting about Tokyo.
Correct. So we went to Tokyo twice last year. You know, our dream from the beginning when we wrote that list of locations, because when we built out Barrio Dog on a piece of paper, you know, we didn't only write down what we were going to do and our mission and all that, but we targeted where we wanted to be, and Tokyo was one of the places that we wrote down from the beginning.
Why?
Because I've been in lowriding since my entire life.
Tell me about the Japanese culture and their love for the lowrider scene, bro. What's going on?
It gives you the chills to see a culture that's so far away from ours be so close, right? As far as their passion for what we do, they're producing the most beautiful rides out there. There's Saturday night cruise nights out there. I mean, there's just an affection for everything that's Chicano right now in Tokyo. And we want to be a part of that.
Bro, we're going to Tokyo.
It's amazing, bro.
Bro, we're going to Tokyo.
As soon as they let us fly out of here again, we're gone. I mean, we would have been in the final stages of preparing an opening out there this year. That was the plan, to go out there and have it completed for 2020. Now, because of COVID, everything is on standby, but our dream will see itself play out there for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Damn. We got to cook out there already once.
Yeah, we did.
We were
the last time we went. Who speaks the language, though?
We have friends.
Okay.
Hey, you can't speak Japanese, you get a Japanese friend.
Hey, Siri, ask them if they want La Virgen.
So we got through our marketing manager, Eric Casas. He works with Tribal. So he hooked us up with Tribal. And they've been really cool with linking us up with their guys out there. And the very first time that we went out there, we met with Nori, one of the Tribal guys from out there. He's the Tribal merchandise regional director out there. So he took us out. He showed us Japan. He was our interpreter, our culinary expert, even to taking us to eat chicken sashimi on the first day, which was a little tough.
That's crazy.
But we made it happen.
Raw chicken. No mames, bro.
Raw chicken.
Our stomachs won't handle that shit.
So yeah, man, we're excited to go back as soon as they let us go back and finish up that project and get something opened up out there.
Sounds good. Three punkos and Pinchy Barrio Dog in Japan. Let's do it, bro.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Boys.
You'll fall in love.
I've always wanted to go.
I went the first time. Me, for the first time, I've always gone to like Mexico y todo, ¿verdad? Ir a visitar. First time in Japan, I'm like, all right. I went a little cautious, quiet. I was just in the back. But man, I fell in love with the city, bro.
Yeah?
It's gorgeous. Everybody's
what's it like?
Dude, so clean. Everybody's so respectful. There are machines out there, bro.
All right.
Yeah.
Respect.
The food is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
How long is the flight?
12 hours.
Chingas.
But nah, se te hace de volar.
Quick 12.
Yeah, once you get there, you're cool. We went last February, and then we went right back in May.
How's the beer? Was there beer everywhere?
Yeah, there's beer. Pero sabes que the craft beer movement is barely getting started.
Yeah, it's barely getting
started. Barely getting started. Like, that's the, right now, where to go.
All right. Yeah. Interesting. Maybe a seed was planted today, boys.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, gracias por venir. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about Barrio Dog.
Thank you.
Honestly, I'm excited to see where our paths lead together. Yeah. I'm going to start dropping off some beer with her, where you want it or not. You're going to start slanging it. Así es el pelo. What? We're going to figure out a way to bring more attention to San Diego.
Yeah,
the Barrios, Chula Vista, Barrio Logan, National City.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the game plan.
Yeah.
That's the game plan.
If we
education.
We can all use our resources together, bro. We can make
you know,
it back.
Education, the Emo Brown Foundation, Hood Heroes,
yes, sir.
Everything.
Yes, sir.
I want all the good things for all of us moving forward, bros. Felicidades on all your achievements and endeavors and making it through the fucking COVID.
Yep.
Kick ass, bro.
Likewise,
I'll
brother.
See you guys
Thank
soon. Gracias, mano.
Thank you, brother.
That is a wrap for this episode of the Emo Brown, the Saddest Mexican Podcast. Make sure to give us a follow on Instagram @EmoBrown. Give us a shout out at Twitter. We're on there too. And at Facebook, for those of you who still use Facebook, we're on there as well. More importantly, give us a visit at emobrown.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes, all of the merch. There's more merch coming, as well as access to the Patreon Club, joining the Emo Brown Social Club. Don't be a stranger. Hop on in there. Join, submit, follow. Todo el pelo. We appreciate your support. Thank you very much. Big things are coming. Besitos. Que se que onda. This episode is brought to you by 3 Punk Ale Brewing, located here in the heart of downtown Chula Vista on 3rd Avenue. Enjoy the show. My shit'll pump up a gym, hot damn, it's the baddest. This episode is brought to you by the Alamo, the diviest of dive bars located on the south side of Broadway, Chula Vista. When